1984. Author, George Orwell. 1984 tells the story of Winston Smith, a tall, fragile 39-year-old man in blue overalls. Winston came from a world where one was always watched, even in their bedroom. A world where children went to public executions for fun. A world where one was either a member of the party or a worthless prole. That was the post-revolution world of Oceania, the world this summary is all about. The life of Winston Smith. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. These were the slogans of the party, inscribed on the white pyramidal building of the Ministry of Truth. Winston could read the words all the way from his apartment. Looking through his window, he could see four similar buildings towering the city, each one 300 meters high. The Ministry of Truth, the Ministry of Peace, the Ministry of Love, and the Ministry of Plenty. These were the four structures that made up the government of Oceania. While forcing an optimistic expression on his face, Winston turned around to confront the telescreen, a metal plaque instrument hanging on the wall. That telescreen functioned as both a TV and a camera. It was the tool the government used to reinforce the party's teachings, as well as to track the citizens' every move. Winston had to be cautious. Even the slightest blink could give him away. Winston was lucky, though. In his room, there was a small alcove where the telescreen couldn't reach. It was there, in that corner, where the story began. On April 4, 1984, Winston sat in his alcove with a pen and an empty book. Down with Big Brother, he wrote. For so long, he had been hiding his resentment toward the government, but finally, he admitted it. Winston declared himself a dead man. At any moment, the thought police could barge in to arrest him. But despite the risk, Winston continued to write. Double think. Winston worked at the records department of the Ministry of Truth. The purpose of the Ministry of Truth was to oversee every kind of information that passed throughout Oceania, including news, textbooks, poems, and work of fiction. The minister was also in charge of citizens' records, both living and dead. If the government wanted someone to disappear, the employees of the Ministry of Truth would track the person down and delete any documentation of him or her. The person would just vanish, as if they had never existed. And if the government wanted to create a person, the employees of the Ministry of Truth would make up a story and slip it into the records. Though it was hard to create a living human, they could always invent a dead war hero who fought for the honor of the party. History, too, was altered in the party's favor. In fact, there were no records kept of anything that happened before the late 50s. Books had been destroyed, maps had been changed, and even countries had been renamed in order to bury the past. Only the elders remembered the world before the revolution. But one couldn't rely on their aging brain. 2 minutes hate. Every day, when the clock struck 11, the employees of the Ministry of Truth would gather in the hall. They'd sit in front of a big telescreen and watch a 2-minute video meant to evoke rage and hatred. It was a video of Emmanuel Goldstein, the enemy of the people. Goldstein was a Big Brother's comrade. But then he rebelled against the party and began to spread some unholy ideas about liberty, equality, and peace. He was sentenced to death. But right before the execution day, he disappeared, leaving behind a book he had written. The thought police hunted that book down. There was no way Winston could read it. There was also that one man, O'Brien, he was called. O'Brien, too, worked at the Ministry of Truth. He was a member of the inner party. Winston believed O'Brien was on his side. He had once seen him in a dream where they promised to meet in the place with no darkness. Ever since then, Winston had the feeling that O'Brien was an ally. That feeling was too strong that it gave Winston hope. Her name was Julia. Like Winston, Julia was a rebel. She detested the government and often broke the rules. While Winston dreamed of a rebellion, Julia just wanted to be happy. She believed that the government was invincible. but that she could still live a good life if she built an image of a loyal member of the party. It all was going well for her, until she fell in love with Winston. Love wasn't allowed in Oceania. In fact, love was the greatest crime of all. The dream came true. It caught Winston by surprise when O'Brien approached him in the middle of the corridor. "I was reading one of your newspaper articles in the Times the other day. You take a scholarly interest in newspeak, I believe," he said. The conversation flowed as the two men discussed Winston's writings. Then O'Brien gave Winston his address and invited him to come over to see the latest version of the Newspeak dictionary. Winston thought that his dream had just come true. Winston didn't hesitate to accept O'Brien's invitation, but he brought Julia along. Showing up at O'Brien's door was the riskiest decision they had ever made. What if O'Brien turned out to be an enemy? How would the couple explain their relationship? "We're enemies of the party," Winston admitted. Without much of an introduction, he confessed to all the crimes he and Julia had done, putting himself at O'Brien's mercy. For so long, Winston had believed O'Brien was on his side. In his dream, O'Brien promised to meet him in the place with no darkness. It was about time to find the truth, no matter what was at stake. Against all the odds, O'Brien admitted that he was a member of the Brotherhood. He told the couple that there were many like him, that Goldstein was alive, and that his book existed. O'Brien asked if the couple were prepared to give their lives for the Brotherhood. They said yes. He asked if they were ready to do crimes. They said yes. He asked if they were prepared to kill an innocent child. They said yes. He asked if they were prepared to be separated from each other. And only to that, they say no. A few days later, Winston received a copy of Goldstein's book. He headed to the hideout to see Julia, and the two began to read. The Uglier Truth. Through Goldstein's book, Winston read about the world. He learned that ever since societies were formed, populations were divided into three classes: the high, the middle, and the low. As centuries passed, the world evolved. By the late of the 19th century, technology was progressing in a way that would have allowed people to live better. Everyone could have a nice home with a refrigerator, good food, good healthcare system, and a job that provided them with proper income. It didn't matter whether one was a factory worker or a politician, equality was possible. But of course, the high class wouldn't allow the world to change. Prosperity was only a threat to their power. There had to be a gap between the classes, even if the high-class people had to create it by hand. Winston didn't finish the book. He stopped reading after a few chapters. He got up and walked to the window, through which he could see a poor old woman singing while doing her chores. Winston was now sure, more than ever, that death was his inevitable destiny. But that woman, like many other proles, had hope. The proles could still have a future. "We are the dead ones," Winston said. "We are the dead ones," Julia affirmed. But then another voice broke in, a voice that came from behind the wall. "We are the dead ones," it said. Winston realized that they had been watched. Behind a picture frame on the wall, there was a telescreen monitoring them. And in a moment, soldiers charged into the room and arrested both Winston and Julia. The Place with No Darkness. After getting arrested, Winston discovered that O'Brien worked as a spy for the inner party. He had been watching Winston and Julia for years, and he knew everything. O'Brien had a copy of Winston's diary, photos of his time with Julia, and even recordings for their conversations. For months, O'Brien tortured Winston in order to change how his brain worked. He beat him, starved him, electrocuted him, and used every method of psychological torture in order to cure him. He wanted him to give up control over his memory. He wanted him to love Big Brother and the party. And more importantly, he wanted him to hate Julia, as her love was the one thread that tied Winston to his humanity. The world had to be run by fear, not love. Fear kept the people under control. At the final stage of torture, O'Brien strapped a cage onto Winston's head. a cage full of carnivorous rats. O'Brien threatened to open the door and let the rats eat Winston's face off. That was when Winston snapped. "Do it to her! Do it to Julia!" he screamed. Winston didn't just say the words. He meant them. He wanted Julia to suffer instead of him. He no longer cared if the rats ate her alive. His heart has changed. And that, he knew, was betrayal. Finally, Winston was broken, and O'Brien's work was done. Parting words. Winston lived in a world of dehumanization, a world where individuals were disposable. He was a rebel, yet he never really rebelled. His only crime was that he was human. He valued love and freedom and intellectuality, the things the party despised the most. Throughout Winston's story, his choices never really mattered. No matter how cautious he tried to be, sooner or later, he was going to get caught. But in a world like that, would anyone really survive? Unless one rebelled, they'd never live.